We thank you, Father, that you take us right where we're at right now, and we have the opportunity to grow, and that's what we want to do, all for your glory and for your honor. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. You can open your Bible to 1 Peter, the pink one. And I'll start out with a little story that I found. During Super Bowl 37, I'm not used to Roman numerals. FedEx ran a commercial that spoofed the movie Castaway, in which Tom Hanks played a FedEx worker whose company plane went down, stranding him on a desert island for years. Looking like the bedraggled Hanks in the movie, the FedEx employee in the commercial goes up to the door of a suburban home, package in hand. When the lady comes to the door, he explains that he survived 5 years on a deserted island, and during that whole time he kept his package in order to deliver it to her. She simply said, "Thank you." But he is curious about what's in the package that he's been protecting for years. He says, "If I may ask, what's in the package after all?" And she opens it and shows him the content, saying, "Oh, nothing really. Just a satellite telephone, a global positioning device, a compass, a water purifier, and some seeds." And so, can you imagine having something in your possession that would have helped you a long time ago, and you've guarded it and dusted it off and pressed leaves in it, but never opened it up to see what was in it? The study tonight is on embracing discipleship, and I have another story if you remind me to read it at the end of the lesson, okay? So we're going to begin. And I thought about this, that if you're going to study the Bible, why would you want to study it? How is irrelevant if you don't know why? So in 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to look at some reasons. Letter A there, because it's relational. This book becomes relational. And when we read it, just like if you got a letter from a loved one that you hadn't seen in a long time or heard from, and you got a letter, that's relational. Here. So 1 Peter 1:23 says, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever." So we're born again actually through the Word of God, because we hear the truth. We hear about Jesus. And that seed is planted in us, that incorruptible seed, and it brings forth light and so much more. But His Word, I want you to notice that born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, the Word of God. It's an incorruptible seed. It's the incorruptible thoughts of God. And the question is, can you have a strong relationship with God without using the Bible? Or, I can't. It's true or false? And what do you think? Can you have a strong relationship with God without the Bible? I know I need the Word of God to have a strong relationship with Him. Now, just go a few pages to your left. Just gently past Hebrews to 2 Timothy. See, we're talking about why we would want to study the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16. Has any of you ever left a note to your loved one and love you? Or something even maybe a little more mushy. Yeah, that's a good word, mushy. Anyway, do you ever leave them a note where it wasn't too mushy and it's like, "You need to do this"? Probably more of those kind than the mushy, right? Anyway, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so we can be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's saying that this word is God-breathed. It's God's heart to us. Just like we write a note, it's correction, it's instruction, it's mushy sometimes. But that's why we want to study the Bible, because it's the inspiration of God. It's the place in this earth where we can find the inspiration of God. And so, no wonder the devil hates it so much, right? So, it's relational. Letter B, it's, anybody have a guess? Revelatory. Spell that three times. It brings revelation. In other words, revelation means to uncover something. So as we're reading through, like if we go to the green tab in our Bible, we go to the green tab, and we look in John chapter 1. It says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Who's that talking about? It's talking about Jesus. The Word became flesh. "And then we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of great grace and truth." So, when we open up this book, who can we discover in here? The Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, right? All of those. So it gives us a true picture of Jesus and the Father. I was religious for a lot of years and went to church, but we never did read this book. We read a bunch of other books. We might have glanced in there real quick and then got out real fast. You know, we didn't want to spend too much time in it for some reason. But I never did know Jesus. I never did know the Father like I found Him in this book. We had a different Jesus, even though I didn't realize it until that time. So when you get into the Word of God, you find the true picture of Jesus, the true picture of the Father. So it's so important. That's why we want to read our Bible. In John 8, see, I pray that everyone would have a passion to get into the Word of God. It's not something that wouldn't be like you have to, but it's like you get to. And you get to discover new things. And, you know, one thought from God can change your life. You can take just one thought that's a key that unlocks the door and sets you free from maybe a bondage that you've been in all your life. So, what's in the Word of God? John 8:31. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, "If you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know" what? You'll know the truth, and the truth shall what? The truth shall make you free. That's why we want to get in the Word, because the Word is the truth when you understand it correctly. John 17:17, in Jesus' prayer to the Father, before He goes to the cross, He's praying over the disciples and us, and He says, "Sanctify them." Now, who knows what sanctify means? I didn't hear, I heard one. So, But that's right. The others might have been right. I just didn't understand what you said. But it means to set apart. Who wants to be set apart from this world? And isn't that what truth, when we read where the truth will make you free? How much of the world is just in bondage? Just in bondage to so much. They're in bondage to image. They're in bondage to all money and just all kinds of things. So set us apart. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And so we get in the word of God because we can find truth, and that truth makes us free. And then just back to John chapter 14 and verse 6. Now we could go on all night talking about why. These are just a few things. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so Jesus is the living word. In the Bible we find Jesus, who's the living word, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. So that's one reason why I want to know how to study my Bible, and that's why I want to read it, so I can find truth. So it gives us connection with the truth and freedom through that truth. I was so mad when I realized that I'd been deceived all those years in religion. I was so angry because, I want my mother-in-law to stand up. Will you stand up, please? I want to honor her tonight because she and her, like my father-in-law and their family, brought the word of God to us, sent it to us, and helped us to find the truth through the Word of God in our life. I don't know where we'd be today without finding the truth and without finding the Word. So thank you so much. Letter C, it gives us spiritual food and can be a protection against the enemy. And so go to your left, Matthew. Where are we going? Matthew chapter 4. Just a few pages to your left. This is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. We read about him being water baptized, and we saw the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triune Godhead there. We come to Matthew chapter 4. And it says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "What? What did Jesus say?" He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." But it didn't just stop there. Verse 5, "Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, 'If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, he shall give his angels charge over you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.'" Now that's a quote from Psalm 91 and verses 11 and 12. The devil's using the word of God. I want you to notice that. And then verse 7, Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said, "Away with you, Satan. For what? It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve." So, in the face of temptation, we need to know what God said, because the devil knows what the word says too. So, it's really important to know the word and to grow in the word, right? And our spirit man needs fed. Man does not live by bread alone. But then again, how much do we spend on feeding ourselves and pampering our flesh and taking care of ourselves? How much time do we spend on taking care of our inner man, our spirit and our soul? So it's so important to be in the Word. Can you see that? All right, let's go to the orange, and then go to the right a little bit more. We're going to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, it's important to know what the Bible says, because the Bible can be misunderstood it can be misunderstood. You can think of all kinds of different, scenarios. Jim Jones, Howard Camping. It was just not too long ago over there by Porter's, there was the billboard, "The world's going to end," and, well, that date's passed, but people sold their homes, gave their life savings, gave them to that ministry, and the ministry guy, when it didn't happen, he was hid away in a motel somewhere. And they were deceived. We need to guard against deception, because the Word of God can be misunderstood. 2 Timothy 2:15. Now, I have the New King James. It says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." I like the old King James. It says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman." That's what the old King James says. But we can see here in this, if it can be rightly divided, then it can be wrongly divided. Okay? So we need to put effort and study into learning the Word of God. And that's how we feed on it. That's how it becomes bread to us. And that's why we need to know the Bible, because it can be misunderstood. Every one of us can be misled if we don't stay in the Word of God. And then letter E there, and the last one in that category, it can help protect us from something. So go to your yellow tab, Psalm 119. Letter D was, we must put effort and study into learning the Word. The one above it is, it can be misunderstood. I know it's kind of really elementary how I put this together, but I think it's powerful. I love to go over the basics again. My soul has been refreshed, doing these studies and putting them together in a different way than I've done them before. I just didn't want to, get the same stuff out, the same pot, the same pan, and, I wanted just to see if I could put a little bit of a difference in it. So I hope you're blessed. But Psalm 119, verse 11, "Your word I have hidden in my night chest, in the back seat of my car." Better than that, in the trunk of my car so it won't be stolen. No. "Your word I've hidden in my heart." Why? "That I might not sin against you." If we keep His Word going in our heart, then it can help keep us from sin. So, we hide the Word in our heart how? Through meditation. I just want to encourage you. It's not like you have to, meet this quota. I'm doing a quota Bible study right now, and I'm glad I can be ahead. I always like to be a little ahead because sometimes I get behind, and then you get behind, you get discouraged, you want to quit. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is you don't have to be under some kind of legalistic law. Well, I got to get this done. Well, you want to get something out of it if you're doing it. And you want to look in here like you're looking for nuggets of gold and silver, or like a good juicy hamburger. I mean, that's something that you put inside. That's what we're looking for in God's Word, and we can meditate on His Word and hide it in our heart. It will keep us from sin, and so that's cool. That's wonderful. Can you say amen? Okay, go to your green tab. Now we're going to look at how to read the Bible. Matthew chapter 4. Or actually, it's Mark chapter 4. So you go to the green, turn left. And in all the years I've been reading the Bible, I've never been able to memorize the books. I'm just glad I can memorize verses. So I'll take memorizing verses over memorizing the books. So sometimes it's like, where is Nehemiah? Well, it's somewhere in the Old Testament. And I'll go searching for it. So Mark chapter 4. We encourage people here in the church to read this parable once a month because it's the parable of the sower sows the word, the parable of the seed. And it's just a good parable to read and examine our hearts by. Jesus gave the disciples that parable, and then in verse 11, they came to him in verse 10, and they asked him about the parable, and he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things are put in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn, and their sins should be forgiven them." And so, the point I want to make here is the Word of God is a mystery, but when you get born again, you got to get inside the family to understand God's Word. When you get inside the family through the new birth, you were born again. Go to John chapter 3 to your left. So the point is in Mark 4, 11 through 14. Oh, we forgot to look at verse 14, I'm sorry. Or we didn't, I did. Verse 13, he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word." And I think Matthew says the word, the sower sows the word. Matthew, it's talking about the seed. God's word is seed, is what I'm trying to say. And the seed is meant to be planted in the hearts of believers. It's meant to be planted in the hearts of those in the kingdom. Okay? And how do you get in the kingdom? Go to John chapter 3. That's the green tab. Jesus is talking to this Pharisee who came to him at night. He's a ruler of the Jews. And he was telling Jesus, "We know you're from God because of the signs you do. You can't do what you're doing unless God were with you." And Jesus just plain flat told him, "You need to be born again." That's in verse 3. Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then verse 5, "I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So to understand the Bible, you have to be born of God. Born from above, born of the Spirit. And we do that by realizing we're sinners. I need a Savior. You call on the Lord. You ask Him to be the Lord of your life. You submit your life to His Lordship. Give your heart to Him. And last week we talked about how we become new creations. And old things have passed away. Our spirit is made new. No more death. We're alive to God. And so that needs to happen in us for us to really get everything from the Bible that we need. We have to be born again. Now, 1 Corinthians, go to your right. Just before the orange tab. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9 says, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of natural man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So, you have to be born again. You have to have the Spirit of God dwelling in you in order to understand what God is saying, because it's spiritual insight, not natural insight. Okay, now let's go to Ephesians. That's the orange tab, right? Yeah, Ephesians chapter 1. Okay, I forgot to fill in some blanks there under Mark 4. God's Word is understood by those on the inside of His kingdom. God's Word is seed to be sown into the field of our heart. And you must be, who knows the answer, born again to see the kingdom of God. And then, once you're born again, you receive the ability through the Holy Spirit to begin to understand God's will and Word. Now we're in Ephesians chapter 1. When we go to read the Bible, we should be prayerful. Connect our hearts to God through prayer. Ephesians 1:15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding. See, those are your spiritual eyes. Those are the eyes of your spirit and your soul. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. We have inheritance. We have a calling. We have hope in our calling. If we didn't, I would have quit a long time ago. Paul said that we're of all men most miserable if this gospel isn't true. But we know it's true for many reasons. And, you know, I think the changes I recognize in my own life, you know, are proof that God is real. But we need to pray. Pray for our eyes. You can pray this scripture for yourself. Pray it over yourself that He would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That He would open the eyes of your understanding Like I said earlier, one revelation from God can totally change your life, transform your life, set you free. I was, I'll just tell you this testimony real quick, but I was born again in November 1985 and baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and I was happier than a clam. I tasted the Lord. I tasted something on the inside of me, and I just thought it couldn't get any better. But then time passed and the taste went away, and I thought, oh man, what have I done? I've sinned. I've fallen from, I didn't think I'd fallen from grace, but where did it go? That was really cool. I liked it. But, you know, that was just, I think, an assurance, a confidence to me, you know, for what we were going through. But anyway, I just kept reading the Bible. I just couldn't get enough of the Bible. I would read, get home from work and read all night long till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, go to bed, wake up refreshed, and read the Bible before I went to work. And we were just devouring God's Word because He was speaking to our hearts. He was helping us deal with issues of religion that we were facing, with the hard issues of family. You get rejected sometimes when you receive Jesus. But anyway, I was just in the Word constantly, and one day I was going out of my garage. I remember right where I was when it happened, but I felt a couple of things leave my body. I believe there were demons hanging onto my flesh that were just seeing how serious I was going to be about this Jesus thing. I felt them leave. And see, we're in a spiritual battle, we're in a spiritual warfare, and the devil gets his hooks into us, and though he doesn't have our spirit, and though we're not possessed, and though we're not, you know, he'll hang on where he can just to see if you'll cool off. I mean, you want to make it so hot inside of you for God that he has to let go. And I think that's what was going on. And it's like, I just got another, more freedom. So I just want to encourage you, read the Word and just expect God to do things in your life. Be prayerful about it. Study it by subject. You can do it that way. I forgot to bring in my concordance and my, what do you call those things where the smart guys have all their words written down in? a dictionary, but what's the other thing? Matthew, commentary. You can take a commentary and read. I really have to be in the mood to read a commentary because a lot of the languages, it's like, whoa, now what was that word? It takes you 5 minutes to get the word figured out. But they're helpful at times to find meaning. So you can get commentaries. You can get Bible dictionaries. You can get translations and set them side by side. And it wasn't written in... somebody said, I just use the King James because that's what Paul used. Well, it was written in Greek. That's wrong. I mean, they're so tied to their traditions and stuff. They, you know, this is the Bible Paul wrote, but he didn't write the English. So we can set our English translation side by side, and you can get a lot out of it. There are some translations that you need to be aware of that they're mistranslated, like the Joseph Smith translation and the New World Translation. It takes Jesus from being God to being... Actually, the Jehovah's Witness believe that Jesus is Michael the Archangel. But anyway, I can't get into all of that. But you can lay your Bible side by side, and if it starts steering you away from Jesus, if it starts steering you away from Father, Son, Holy Spirit being one God, and starts telling you that you are a God or something like that, then get away from that and get back into the simple truth. So anyway, so you can study by subject. John chapter 10, green tab. And I'm going to look at a verse here, verse 16. And read in context. That's the next one down. But study. You can study by subject, read in context. Don't just take one scripture and try to make it something that you want it to be. Okay, so we're looking at John 10, 16. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now, I'm picking on Mormons tonight, I guess a little bit, but the Mormon missionary is going to come to your house and they're going to say, they're going to take you to John 10, 16, and they're going to tell you that the Lamanites and the Nephites, the supposed inhabitants of South America, are these other sheep that Jesus is talking about here. And it can make sense if you don't have any more sense. Okay? So we have to study it out. You have to read before. You have to read after. You can take and study the subject. Go to your, you know, go to the back of the book and study out, you know, sheep. And you can study and find out what Jesus was talking about. You can look in commentaries. You know, there's not total agreement in the body of Christ about some things, but they're not going to tell you that the sheep are the Lamanites and the Nephites in South America. And all of, you know what I'm saying? You're going to find that there's no evidence. There's no archaeological evidence, no coins, nothing. No spears, no wheels, no bones, you know, of the things that they say were there. And you can find all that evidence from the Bible. But we need to study by subject. So we could go to Matthew 15, 24. Jesus is speaking here. This, the woman from Samaria, her daughter is sick, and she goes to Jesus and she wants him to heal her daughter. And the disciples want her to go away. Oh, she's from Canaan. Woman of Canaan. And she's crying out, and Jesus answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so she's not a part of the lost sheep. She's outside of Israel. I think she is a Samaritan, isn't she? Is she? Anyway, I got to study that. But you look in 10:5. Matthew 10:5. Jesus sent the 12 out and commanded them, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The point is, the lost sheep that Jesus is talking about there is everyone outside of the Jewish family are the other sheep that he's talking about. And Israel, they were lost, but the other outside of that were everybody else that's lost. So all the Gentiles. So it's just important that we study things out. Real quickly, okay, did I go over all of the, be prayerful, be study by subject, study in context. You don't have to take people's word for anything. You can study it out. You don't have to take my word for anything. Study your Bibles and check with the Holy Spirit. I know I've listened to preachers. By the way, let's go to Mark chapter 6. I've listened to preachers and it's like, well, I don't know if I like what you're saying. But I studied it out and I hung in there. I found out they were right. I was wrong. And then again, I've listened to preachers and it's like, I don't know if I like what you're saying. And I was right, they were wrong. So it's up to us to study God's Word. Always be open to the preaching and teaching of the Word. Mark chapter 6, verse 5. I think we talked about this in one of our classes, but Jesus went to his own hometown and he wasn't able to do any mighty works there. He wasn't able to do miracles. He wasn't able to raise the dead and heal the blind and cause the deaf to hear in his own hometown. He could just do a few, he healed a few minor ailments and that was it. And it's because of their unbelief. But Jesus had a remedy for it. In verse 5, he could do no mighty work there except he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. And then, here's the remedy. He went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Jesus' answer was preaching and teaching. The answer to the lack of miracles in that area. So we need to be open to preaching and teaching of God's Word. We don't always like it, right? Am I doing my job? Do I make you mad sometimes? Huh? I do? I know, but you know, it's not the intention to just get up and make people mad. Some preachers, that's how they preach. They just want to get everybody mad and tell you how bad you are and how good we are, and then we've done that, we've had church. But that's not what it's about. Sometimes we do get angry, but that's because, actually, I was telling last week, Connie, about how we were having that conversation. I was having preacher's remorse because, oh man, maybe I was too hard on everybody, and I don't want to drive people away. There were new people and everything, and now I'm talking about being to church on time. And I kind of went off a little bit on that. And it's like, oh, and then I had preacher's remorse. She said, and we were talking about how the Word of God offends us, and it should. If we're not being offended, we are not communicating with God, because our natural mind is in conflict with Him. Our natural mind, we have thoughts that are not of God at all. So, anyway, that's why you get mad. It's not on me, it's on you. Okay, we're in Ephesians, right? Did you find Ephesians? Chapter 4. To each one of us, verse 7, to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Turn to your neighbor and say, I have a gift. I'm a gift to you. Yeah, can we return it? No refunds, no returns. Okay, so verse 8, this is talking about Jesus. He's ascended on high. He led captivity captive. He gave gifts to men. And we're going to go to verse 10. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. So it's talking about his death, burial, resurrection. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we need to be open to preaching and teaching and ministry like that because it's how God's doing it. It's how God works. And he takes people like you and me and gifts us and gives us gifts, and then it's our responsibility to use the gift, and then we need to be open to one another. And that's how God works. So Jesus continues the ministry of teaching and preaching by gifting and anointing men and women to preach and teach. So, and then there's just some information about the Bible, just a little synopsis of the Bible that you can take home and read. And I want to read you this last little story. Because this is all well and good, but what good is it if we don't apply it? Here's a story. A young man was getting ready to graduate from college. For many months, he had admired a beautiful sports car in a local dealer showroom, and knowing that his father could well afford it, he told him that that was all he wanted. As graduation day approached, the young man awaited signs that his father had purchased the car. Finally, on the morning of his graduation, his father called him into his private study. His father told him how proud he was to have such a fine son, and told him how much he loved him. He handed his son a beautifully wrapped gift box. Curious but somewhat disappointed, the young man opened the box, found a lovely leather-bound Bible with the young man's name embossed in gold. Angrily, he raised his voice to his father and said, "With all your money, you give me a Bible," and stormed out of the house, leaving the Bible. Many years passed, and the young man was very successful in business. He had a beautiful home and wonderful family, but realized his father was very old and thought perhaps he should go to him. He had not seen him since that graduation day, but before he could make arrangements, he received a telegram telling him his father had passed away and willed all of his possessions to his son. He needed to come home immediately and take care of things. When he arrived at his father's house, sudden sadness and regret filled his heart. He began to search through his father's important papers and saw the still new Bible, just as he had left it years ago. With tears, he opened the Bible and began to turn the pages. His father had carefully underlined a verse, Matthew 7:11. "If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give to those who ask him?" And as he read those words, a car key dropped from the back of the Bible. It had a tag with the dealer's name, the same dealer who had the sports car he had desired. On the tag was the date of his graduation and the words, "Paid in full." And so, we don't want to miss out on what God intends for us to have. We want to keep a right attitude. There is treasure in this book. This book can help you do what you need to do. You know, it can help you be a parent. It can help you be a father, a mother, a brother, a sister. It can help you help the helpless. Whatever it is that we need, it can help you get through things. I mean, it's not a promise that you're not going to have problems. We're going to have problems in life, but it can help you get through your problems. And this is the heart of God in here. Holy Spirit makes it alive to us. We just have to open up our hearts, have a right attitude, humble ourselves, honor God by honoring His Word, and God will speak to you. I guarantee it. You study His Word, you read it with a true intent, you're going to find yourself in situations, and as you're reading along, it's like, "God, you're talking to me about this thing." And He gives you wisdom, He gives you advice, deliverance. I know deliverance comes because of the words. Jesus said His words are spirit in their life. So I want to encourage you, read your Bibles. Can you say amen? All right.